Our next presenter is Elena Kaniva. Okay.
Good morning, everyone. Today I'm going to talk about another group of hybrid bunch grapes, and we have done this almost 8-year study in Alabama on Pierce's disease-resistant hybrid bunch grapes to see which of them would perform good for our environment in the Southeast. So it's well known that grapes represent an economically and culturally very important fruit crop. They are known since the humanity started. And what is interesting is that the global production is recently increasing. As an example, U.S. production exceeded 8 million metric tons in 2015, according to data from the National Agricultural Statistical Services. The other reason for us doing this research is the fact that there is a growing interest in hybrid bunch grape production in the southern states, like Georgia and not mentioning Texas, but also Alabama. And what is the current status of grape production in Alabama? Here on those tables, we can see the difference between 2002 and 2012. We had a significant increase in acreage, and that accounted for 198% increase. And also in 2007, Alabama had only 7 commercial wineries, while now in 2017, their number is 17, and that represents an increase of 243%. Cultivation of grapes in general is pretty challenging in the Southeast, and partially this is due to the environment with our continental climate with hot and humid summers and cold and dry winters. Also, we're known to have a lot of pests to deal with, and some of the major pests in grape production have been phylloxera, of course, and for us, Pierce's disease that is caused by a bacterium, Xylella fastidiosa. So that's why what makes the grape production sustainable in southeastern United States would be the use of Pierce's disease-resistant cultivars. And what cultivars are accounted there, we're looking at American species and hybrids between the American species, and they would form the American hybrid bunch grape groups. And then if American species are crossed with Vitis vinifera or European grapes, they are forming French-American group. Dealing with phylloxera in the past, a lot of Pierce's disease-resistant cultivars have been developed by the University of Florida as a byproduct of the breeding program breeding for phylloxera. So they have found that cultivars like Blanc de Bois, Lake Emerald, and Stover were also resistant to Pierce's disease. One of those cultivars, Seval Blanc, was used intensively and was found to be very productive in a particular region in Missouri, in the Ozark region. This cultivar also provided consistent crops, high yields with very large clusters. So we got interested, and we decided to test some of those cultivars in our environment. But major reason was we did not have any scientific information on the performance of any of those cultivars in our environment. It's also unfortunate, but known that no chemicals can be used to successfully control Pierce's disease, being a bacterial disease. Different management techniques have been explored to try to manage the disease, and admire or imidacloprid products are very involved in this process. Usually this spray is applied a soil drench early in the spring to control early populations of sharpshooter vectors of Pierce's disease. But this technique has only limited efficiency. Also, other cultural techniques have been explored, like management of riparian areas, vineyard floor and perimeter, mowing and management. It's been established, though, that cultural practices, like using the proper species and the cultivar selection, would provide the most reliable control of Pierce's disease. So with that idea in mind, we planted an experimental vineyard in 2008. This is in our Sand Mountain Research and Extension Center in Crossville, Alabama, which is northeast in the state. And we planted those 10 Pierce's disease tolerant hybrid bunch grape cultivars. They included Black Spanish, Favorite, Champanelle, Ceval Blanc, Cintiana, Conquistador, Villard Blanc, Blanc de Bois, Lake Emerald, and Stover. This experiment is planted in a randomized complete block design with four replications, with four individual vines in each replication. And the trellis system that we used is a single wire bilateral cordon. The objective of the study was to gather this general information and basic information about how they will perform vegetatively and in terms of their cropping potential, what the quality of the fruit that is produced in our environment is going to be, and also to check on their longevity. Are they really tolerant, resistant to Pierce's disease, and for how many years we can grow them in our environment. So we collected different types of data to, according to our objectives, and these are the results for the pruning weights that we collect annually from this experimental vineyard. And you can see from the chart that we had significant differences. We had pruning weights starting from less than half kilogram to about a kilogram and a half per plant. And why we needed those data, we looked at the balanced pruning theory, which calls for retaining about 30 canes for hybrid bunch grapes in general up until they have just 1 pound of pruning weight per year. And you need to add additional 10 canes, or need to retain 10 more canes for each additional pound of pruning weight. So that's why we think that we found out throughout this study that Ceval Blanc and our Ceval that is grafted on 3309, they have the least vigor among all those 10 cultivars. And for sustainable production, they would need to go with about 30 canes retained per vine for providing an optimal crop. And then Lake Emerald, Champanelle, and Stover, those were three cultivars with the most vigor accounted, and we figured we can recommend retaining about 50-60 canes for those cultivars to our viticulture industry. Interestingly enough, the rest six cultivars were providing data that prompted us to think that retaining about 40 canes on a particular vine would provide the optimal crop from them. And here is the data showing what was the harvest season in 2016, and we can see that we had a relatively early ripening mid-season and late season ripening in this particular season, and this data is similar with our 2015 season. In 2017, we had an extremely warm spring and summer, and our grapes have been much advanced in their ripening, so we saw anywhere between 2 to 3 weeks advancement, and we finished harvesting earlier and are looking at our data for the last season. Yield-wise, we can see on this chart that the columns in blue represent our 2015 total yield, and 2016 is represented in the light colored columns. But what is interesting, I think we can see from this chart that Black Spanish, Black Dubois, Champanelle, Favorite, and Villard Blanc are the cultivars that are producing more consistently higher yields. And that was kind of evident by looking at the cumulative yields per vine for the entire period of this study, 2011 through 2016. Once again, we can see that Villard Blanc provided on average 86.3 kilograms for the entire period, and this is per vine. And we had a whole range of different productivities. We noticed that Conquistador was a pretty poor cropper for us, at least in our Sand Mountain location. Trying to determine what the quality of the fruit was, we were looking at the cluster weight, and in those particular 2 years, we had Villard Blanc producing the largest clusters, very close to 200 grams on average in both 2015 and 2016. Also, Favorite was a cultivar with large cluster size, close to 170 grams, and 2016, close to 190 grams on average. On the other end, we had Cintiana with the smallest cluster weight in both years, and it was followed by Stower, also providing small cluster weight. In terms of berry weight, we noticed that Champanelle was our champion here with the largest average size berries, close to 5 grams in both years of our study. And it was followed by Blanc Dubois, 3.1 or 3 grams on average. Interestingly, when we checked our sugar content, we found out that Cintiana, this late ripening cultivar, provided the berries with the highest sugars in them in both seasons, and it was close to 23% in 2015 and 22% in 2016 season. On the other side, throughout the years, we never saw Champanelle accumulating sugars much higher than 14% on average. We tried to determine berry rot incidence, severity, and berry destruction based on the incidence of berry rot. And what was interesting to know is our Champanelle had almost zero incidence severity in destruction, and Cintiana also performed very well. And we know how destructive rots can be, especially when the harvest time arrives. And here I have a picture to kind of support the previous speaker. This is our Conquistador couple of days prior to harvest, we checked on the cultivar, checked to determine when to harvest, and it looked completely healthy, and just probably 2 or 3 days later, that's the picture that we saw in the field, we found out that spotted wing Drosophila had a big role in the appearance or the quality of conquistador grapes. Multiple larvae were found in the berries of this cultivar, although we did not reproduce the adults. In summary, those are some of our winners. We like favorite because it is tolerant to Pierce's disease, but also highly productive. Other cultivars that are highly productive for us are Villar Blanc and Black Spanish, and that applies throughout the entire period of this study, 8 years and now into ninth season for them, but also they're very consistent croppers. Interestingly enough, recently Blanc du Bois produced over 12 kilograms per vine in the last 2 seasons, so now we kind of started paying more attention to Blanc du Bois as well. Ceval Blanc was at least vigorous, and we had Champanelle and Stover, the most vigorous cultivars. We think that Champanelle can be very successfully grown in homeowner situation because Champanelle is really very resistant to a lot of foliar and rot diseases. Here is our Villar Blanc. I think this is another winner with the highest yields and very good quality throughout the years of this test. Black Spanish is another local favorite. It is kind of widely grown in some of our vineyards. With that, I'd like to acknowledge the help of Dr. Edgar Vinson and my previous graduate student, Andrei Svantik, who collected data and helped me with that work. Also, the director of the station, William Clements, who took care of the commodity. Thanks a lot. Thank you.